Welcome to episode 46 of Shifting Perspectives. For this week's conversation, I'm joined again by Latasha Strawn. Latasha joins me every now and then when I want to dive a little deeper into recurring themes that I've been seeing on the episodes of the podcast. Latasha's essence revolves around being a student, a teacher, and a coach. She is driven by authenticity, and her passion is in spiritual and emotional wholeness and women seeking empowerment. In this week's conversation, we discuss uncertainty. We discuss the emotions that come up with uncertainty, how to manage these sometimes heavy and unpleasant emotions, and how to draw on your mindset and faith to trust the opportunities and blessings that come out of uncertainty. Enjoy. Welcome, Latasha.
Hi, Ellen.
See, we're laughing already. Okay, so listeners, today I have one of my regulars back, Latasha Strawn. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, Latasha joins me every now and then to jump into a theme from Shifting Perspectives that I want to explore and get more into. Because one thing I find is with the episodes, we have these common themes that come out. So I'm always really thankful when Latasha is willing to jump on with me and for us to have a conversation about one of the themes. So that's what we're going to do today. But Latasha, let me give you an opportunity first, especially for those who haven't heard you before. I want to give you the opportunity to introduce yourselves to guests and, of course, share what drives you in this season.
Thanks, Yolande. Okay, so for those who wouldn't have heard me on your wonderful podcast before. I am student, teacher, coach. I remind myself to speak from what I am first. So I am student, teacher, coach. And what I do on a day-to-day basis is I am a coach, I'm a teacher, I am a consultant. I work with companies in coaching and creating learning and development systems. I have been in education for over 20 years now, and in coaching, I feel for just as long, mm-hmm. even though recently I have completed my transformational coaching certification with
Western CMA. Awesome. Congratulations. I'm just
gonna throw that out mm-hmm.
there. Really congratulations.
And what drives me, in a very personal sense, I'm always driven by authenticity. It's what I am striving for in every situation. I'm driven by my family, my kids, and my husband. Relationships with people drive me, places that I can show up as the most authentic version of myself, student, teacher, and coach, and be what someone else needs in that moment. That makes me happy. And that's sometimes in my career, and that's always in my family, and it's in our, you know, friendships and what have you. And that drives me. That makes mm-hmm. every day fulfilling.
Yeah. I think there's such power in the way you said it, of be what somebody needs in that moment, you know, because sometimes there's so much that can come out of that and so much that we can help others and, in a sense, develop our own authenticity as we're doing it.
Oh, yeah, I certainly believe that. And, you know, it doesn't feel like pressure or anything, because when I come to a situation with what I believe I want to give a person, that's pressure. When I just show up and I can fit into what it is they need just in that moment, that's more organic and it happens with a lot more ease. And I'm very happy to be that for as many people as I can.
And you know, the thing is when you show up in that moment, this ties exactly into what I want to talk to you today, because when you're showing up in that moment, you don't know what you're showing up for many times.
So many times, no.
There's some unknown there.
A lot of unknown.
So we're going to jump right in, because today I want to talk about the unknown. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about, yes, I want to talk about navigating the unknown or the uncertainties. And so I think, you know, all of us know the feeling when you're not quite sure how something is going to work out and your emotions are creeping in and you're not sure how you're going to deal with it. So, you know, what do you think of when you think of dealing with the unknown or dealing with uncertainty? Let me say it that way.
There's the first thought. Mm-hmm. The first thought with uncertainty, I think, for most of us is,
oh, crap.
Yeah. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? We have this kind of built-in reaction that uncertainty is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But when you sit with it for a bit, it's not necessarily. So there's my, when you say, what do you think, Tasha? There's my first reaction, which is, I believe, most of our first reaction, like, oh, this can't be happening. What am I going to do? But then there's something beneath that, if you can hold out. And there's a blessing in uncertainty, the blessing of change, that things can change. And I think we forget that, and very easily forget that, everything that we have been able to be a part of until this very moment was riddled with uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. None of us really, really, really know how we got to where we are today. Mm-hmm. You know, we look back and we see how the pieces came together, but there was so much uncertainty on the path to where we are in this moment. And much of that uncertainty opened up to blessings, mm-hmm. opportunities, seasons of change, moments of hope. And that is a part of not being certain. If our perspective is right, that in this moment where I don't know what's going to happen, it really means that anything can happen. And I know it's a shift in tone a little.
A shift in perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it mm-hmm. is. It's, you know, the hair on fire screaming, anything can happen. And then there's the wonder and amazement, anything can happen.
Well, and, you know, when you started answering the question, the first thing I thought of is we have to know that a certain amount of that feeling is natural. We've been built to, when something comes up, we're programmed in a way biologically to feel fear, right? We feel it in our bodies. Yeah. And that's there as a protection, right? And we need that for certain things. But we have to know that even though it's there, we have the ability to push through it and we can look at the other possibilities, because almost anything new and unknown is going to, because we like certainty. We like what is our normal. We like to know how things are going to go. So when change comes in, not everybody just jumps at change. There's a moment there. But there's also a moment for you to evaluate how you want to jump into this change.
Yes, because while we do, on the surface, want certainty, I do believe that that is on the surface, because certainty locks you in. Mm-hmm. Certainty locks you into a path. And when we have too much certainty, you know what we call them? Predictability. And then we call that boredom, and then we call mm-hmm. that stagnation, and you know it progresses from there, right? And then you have death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. because of all of that, you know, control, and it must go this way, and I'll feel safe if it goes this way. We gravitate towards it, but it's not fundamentally how, again, we've gotten to the moments that we're in. It's not how life works. But that pause that you talked about, mm-hmm. that's critical. Because it's in that pause that you have the shift of perspective. It's mm-hmm. in that pause that you can address why the fear is there around uncertainty and make a conscious decision to start looking for all of the other possibilities. Because there's a pretty good reason why you feel fear. whatever mm-hmm. it is that you're looking at in the unknown. Mm-hmm. But that's just one angle. What are the other possibilities in this moment? I'm uncertain about how this, let's say, job interview is going to go. Mm-hmm. And I have one thing that makes this fearful for me. It might not go well. But then what are the other possibilities? Mm-hmm. It might go well. Or it might not mm-hmm. have the desired end that I want, that I get this job, but I met someone through this interview process that opened another door for me. Mm-hmm. And it requires mm-hmm. a bit of imagination to think, how many ways can this turn out for me other than this one way that gives me a bit of fear?
And that pause, you know, being in stillness when things are happening, that in itself can be very difficult. Not just, you know, it can be difficult for a number of reasons, but one of the things that I think about is the fact that we are so conditioned for instant gratification, in the sense that the way media goes, the way processes go, is that, like, when something takes too long to figure out, it feels as though it's going wrong, or it is a failure, or, you know, this just can't be like this, because we're in a swipe, click, press, go mode. You know, you want something, you get it in an instant. And I do think that adds to what makes uncertainty hard for us, is because of the timelines with it and being unsure about the timelines. You know, what are your thoughts on that? And what else do you think? Why do you think uncertainty is so hard for us?
I 100% agree with you, Yolande. It brought to mind a scripture, and I don't know where it is because I'm not that good, but it's in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. That, you know, and you've heard me say this before, that time mm-hmm. and seasons belong to God.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think what makes it hard, in addition to what you said, yes, we are trained now by our technology to have things when we want them immediately. We can get information right away. We can get answers right away. We can get our products and services right away. Bring it to my door now. Mm-hmm. And uncertainty exposes our limitations.
Mm.
Big, big, bright light on our limitations.
Flashing light.
Yeah. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. this is where you end. This is where you need someone bigger than you. This is where you need the intangibles, such as trust and faith. This is where you go into vulnerability. This is where you let go and everything disperses into the atmosphere, and you have to trust. Mm-hmm. That is uncomfortable for us because we are in a time that says you shouldn't have limitations. Mm-hmm. You can
everything's
have
at
everything
your fingertips.
You want, and you can do anything you want. And to not be able to do what you want and have what you want is perceived as a flaw and a weakness in your humanity. No. This is a core element of humanity.
Yeah.
It's not a weakness. It's a part of how we are made. And there's beauty in it because our limitations cause us to give ourselves over, not only to what is greater than us, but to other people mm-hmm. and find our next level in sharing ourselves, in mm-hmm. giving of ourselves, in exposing ourselves and welcoming the other in. I now need more than what I have. I've reached my limit.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't like that. I don't like that. I wrestle with myself and I'm like, I should be able to do this. Why mm-hmm. is this taking so long? Is this because I am just not pushing hard enough? Is this because
we get tough on ourselves?
Yes, we do. Did I plan it right? Did mm-hmm. I have enough of the right components or whatever? You know, you make the long list of things mm-hmm. to explain why I've reached this limit mm-hmm. and why now do I have to yield? And that's really hard. And we're in an environment and an age that doesn't encourage or support that.
Mm-hmm. Because that yielding, there's so many emotions that come up with that. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that the emotions sometimes can be overwhelming, and it floods the situation that the clarity becomes mucky. The waters become really mucky. So how do you suggest people manage dealing with emotions when they're navigating their way through the unknown? You know, how do we deal with those emotions as we're navigating through the uncertainty?
I believe that we deal with them in what I honestly think is the only one way to deal with emotions, which is to feel them, to feel them in their entirety. any other method.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not to be overly simplistic, but in feeling the emotion, you're just following the arrows. Emotions are arrows. They're a pathway that are trying to take you somewhere that you need to go in order to move forward. So that feeling of fear, or that feeling of anxiety, or that feeling of anger, whatever it is, it's relatively neutral, but it wants you to see something.
Sometimes it feels like it wants to hijack what you're doing, though.
Yes, because we don't want limits.
Okay.
We don't want the flashing yellow sign that says slow down, because that's what our emotion is saying. It's saying you might want to slow down here. Mm-hmm. There's something that you need to see in this moment in yourself. And no, but I'm on a course right now. I'm doing something. I'm going somewhere. And don't stop
me. Down.
Don't slow me down. Don't stop me. No detours, please. But our emotions are saying to us, a detour is required, and it's probably required for your optimization. Mm. We need to explore this so that you can have even more in this next moment than you imagined. But because we have these hostile relationships with our emotions, and we don't believe that they are our friends, unless they're, you know, happiness and excitement, we don't want to follow the arrows. Mm. And we don't want to go to that place and handle that business that they want us to deal with, so that we can truly optimize and go forward in life the way we are supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So when I feel an emotion, and the one that I tend to feel most often, Yolande, and you know this about me, is anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the feeling. I want to resist it. I start to get hard on myself, and I'm like, you shouldn't feel this way. You should be over this by now. How are you feeling anxious? You should know better, right? But when I allow myself to follow the arrows, my anxiety is basically trying to tell me that there's something unresolved that I should look at for a moment. And it is painful to go where my anxiety wants to lead me. Okay. It is painful. I'll give you a quick example. Several years ago, I had an opportunity, and it was to take on a position. And I knew it was going to be a bit risky, and I would have been leaving a sure thing to go on this risky thing. And I want you to know the risky thing didn't work out in the end. So just so you know, right. But I was going on this risky
spoiler.
Thing. Yeah. Spoiler. It didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of anxiety around it, but it was making it hard for me to move forward, make a decision. I felt a lot of uncertainty. I was waiting for, an answer back from the company that wanted to take me on. I was just worried. And when I followed the anxiety, however, that I was feeling, would you believe that it was not about the risk of that company or the fact that they were a startup and it didn't know how it was going to go? My real anxiety was that I would not be a contributor in my marriage, and that my husband would have all of the money and hence all of the control.
That's a whole other set of
reasons. But
I think that there, and I appreciate you telling that story, because it leads us to something that has come up a fair bit, and I know comes up when I'm coaching, is how the things sneak in that hijack our subconscious. Because we have to remember that we have an insane amount of thoughts in a day.
Yes.
And like, I think it's something like 60 to 80,000 thoughts in a day. And just about 5% of those are in your conscious mind. And if you think of that 95% of those thoughts, you know, and we do need, you know, there's a filter there that ensures that we don't see and hear and have to process everything, because we'd be totally overwhelmed by it, right?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, the name of that filter is the reticular activating system. We could just call it filter, right? And when we have things that are going on, like the feelings you just expressed, a lot of that may be playing in our subconscious, right? In that 95% stuff.
Yeah.
And that there has a great impact on our behaviors. And this is where the idea of limiting beliefs, that's the core of where it comes from. Because what you described was then what your limiting belief was as it related to this opportunity. So if that's the case, then your filter says, hey, this is what she's thinking about. You know, you get more of what you focus on. This is what she's thinking about. So let me show her more evidence of this.
Absolutely. And the thing is, if you don't follow the arrows that your emotions are giving you, you're not going to get that 95% of those unconscious, subconscious thoughts mm-hmm. that are creating those limitations in yeah. your belief systems. So mm-hmm. was it painful to go there? Was it painful to admit that I was exposing a distrust in my husband? Mm-hmm. Was it painful to then actually admit that distrust out loud in a conversation with him?
Yeah.
And in fact, mm-hmm. because it was unfounded, it was mm-hmm. completely unfounded. It had a lot to do with things that even predated my marriage, coming from a single parent home, having to watch a mother struggle. Mm-hmm. You know, there were so many things there that I would never have attached to the anxiety I felt around just taking a chance with this startup. But I was a better person for following okay. those arrows and addressing the things that were behind that emotion, the real things that were behind mm-hmm. it. So going back to your initial question, what do we do with those emotions? Follow them.
Yeah.
Follow them. Believe in what they are designed to do. They're not trying to hijack you by and large. Yes, mm-hmm. they can.
They certainly can.
But I don't believe that that is the design. Just like fear in its purest form is intended to, you know, alert you, to protect you. Mm-hmm. Our mm-hmm. emotions in their purest forms are to expose things to us that yeah, if we don't 100%. Deal with them, they will hijack us, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
I had held on to that limiting belief, that's what would have not only hijacked that moment, it would have prevented me from doing so many other
things. So many moments to come.
Exactly.
So many and moments.
To my, come. Not only my career, but my relationship with my husband, my marriage. So many things were being affected by that emotion led me to. Mm-hmm. So is that an easy thing to do? Again, no. But I can't mm-hmm. honestly say that there's any other way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where, you know, when as coaches, we say you have to do the work. That's yes. the world. That's what it is,
that's
you know,
it is.
And it's not always pleasant. And, you know, the way you describe yourself as student, teacher, coach is because even as coach, we still got to be student to some of these things, eh?
Yes.
Because it's no matter where you get in life, I don't think you're immune to this stuff. We just find it in different forms, but you have to be willing to see it for what it is and do the work to Absolutely. Move through it. If anything, I think maybe you become more trusting of the fact that, okay, well, you know, there's an end game. You can't see it. And it, you know, that analogy, and I've used it so many times, I'm sure I've said it to you, but the car and the headlights.
Yes.
Right. Is you're driving in a car and you know what your destination is. So if I'm going from here to the grocery store, I know clearly what my destination is and I'm going in but I can't see the grocery store from where I am. But I know how to get there. And when I'm driving in the night, my headlights are out. But I can only see what is within my headlight distance, right? Yeah. But I have to trust that as I keep moving forward, then I'll be able to see the next set of distance within my headlights. Now, there might be some roadblocks or there's an accident or this road is closed or something like that, and you have to change course. but your intention is still clear as to where you're going. And so that intention of me getting to the grocery store, even if I have to go another way, my intention is clear. And I think when we have clarity in our intention, we can deal with the emotions within our headlights and take it one step at a time. And so I do think it helps dealing with uncertainty if we have clarity on intention and vision.
Absolutely. You know, I hadn't thought about it that way, Yolande, but when I hear you say it, it makes perfect sense, because going back to what happened with me in that company, I know what I wanted for myself. Mm-hmm. So there was a bit of discombobulation about, if I'm clear about where I want to be and where I'm going, I need to address this emotion that's in the way, because I'm very certain about what I want for my life. So what's happening right here? It would have been different if I didn't really want this opportunity and I'm not really interested in this line of work and this isn't a part of what I see for my future at all. So perhaps I'm just not on the right path right now. But when you see it so clearly and you know that's what it is that you are moving toward, and then something comes, rises up in you that starts to shake you, because again, you're only seeing little bits and pieces at a time. You go to a place, at least I go to a place in my mind that says, but don't I really want this? Don't I really want to get to the grocery store? Yes, actually I do. Mm-hmm. So I have to do the work of dealing with what's in front of me right now, because I actually want to end up there. That's where I want to go. Mm-hmm. But you said something else too, Yolande, that I want to spend a couple of seconds on. It's doing what's in front of you, taking those next steps. I know you asked about, you know, how to deal with the emotions, but sometimes intercepting all those feelings with doing is also very important. I can get in my head a lot, and that works well for me most times. But there's also a point where I have to intercept the thought with action. There's something that I can do. I will do my next step in faith. I will do my next step in hope, though I am uncertain. You know, and I have taken a lot of next steps over 2020 and into 2021 that have yielded beautiful results for me. And I took those steps with only a headlights
distance.
Yeah, just all I could see. Not even 100% sure that the step I was making was completely on the path, because the light wasn't that great. But I trusted what was on the inside of me and believed. What's the worst that could happen? I hate to believe that. Yeah. But sometimes you really do get to what's the worst that could happen? I have to step forward. I'm just going to make that next step.
Two things based on your comments. The first one is, I think this brings to mind why vision, and when I say vision, not just what you envision yourself doing, but, you know, a lot of people will talk about vision boards and how those are really great to activating what you want. And I think sometimes we forget to get to the core of the idea that when you can visually see where you're trying to get, it makes it easier to stay on the path, because our subconscious likes pictures. Yeah. Our subconscious likes that clarity of knowing what this looks like. So I think that there is also a reminder for listeners with the tools, is take some minutes to close your eyes when in uncertainty and visualize the outcomes you want. Visualize what it looks like. Add the emotions to it.
Yeah.
What does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it sound like? All of that. Visualize it as if it has already happened. And that gives us great strength when moving through uncertainty, is because for our mind, it's setting it up like it's already happened.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's one thing that came to mind. And the second thing, when you mentioned that you're in your head, right? I think we all have those moments. But when do you decide? When do you decide? it's time to get out of my head and maybe have a conversation with somebody in my core or have reflection for perspective. Now, notice I said somebody in my core because I don't think everybody you can have these conversations with. But when for you is the moment to ensure that you have a sounding board to help with your management of it, as well as your activation of your next level?
I have never thought about it before, to be honest, Yolande. So I will tell you, just looking back, I would say when I'm unable to take a next step.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That would be when I realize that I'm paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And it's not always a frightening feeling, but when I get to a point where it is truly difficult to decide what my next action step is going to be, because I'm, you know, as coaches, we always try to move people toward an action. And when I know I can't get to the next action, that's when I need to bring myself to the team, when I need to talk this through with someone other than myself. And I realize in those moments that something is blocking my vision. Mm-hmm. I can't see as well as I normally do. And in conversation, I get those aha moments. It's like, Yolande can see what I can't see. And she's like, well, did you think about this? And it's like, oh, really? I had not. Thank you. And it's like,
that's exactly where I'm going with this. It's so often we feel like we have to do it all ourselves. And for many reasons, many of us have reasons, or many of us have had experiences that push us on that path of, you got to do it all yourself. But the support piece is a huge piece of the puzzle in our success.
Yes.
Especially as women, right?
Yes.
And when is it that you have to say, all right, maybe I need to reach for some support? That's where I'm going with that, because there's times when, like you said, the minute I ask questions or I start just speaking out loud,
yeah,
the blinders suddenly, whew, they're all gone. Right.
And it's mm-hmm. like,
and wow. It's like, oh, that really? That's yeah. the solution?
And does it blow your mind like it blows mine? I'm like,
always.
And I feel such gratitude. I feel so connected mm-hmm. and so much less alone. And I'll also add this, that if you make it a habit to give yourself those safe spaces with people that share a similar mindset, you get stuck less often. You really mm-hmm. do, because you're cultivating an environment mm-hmm. of exposing the uncertainty. The uncertainty yeah. doesn't linger with you, you know, in your bathroom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You stare in the mirror. Yeah, because I know, because I, for some reason, I think, I don't know why it happens, but there's a shame that sometimes is linked to uncertainty.
Yes.
And when you speak about it and there's empathy around it, that just takes that shame right away. So you can function.
It really does. And we can do that ahead, because mm-hmm. there's so much uncertainty in life that it is in our best interest to cultivate environments and safe spaces where we can bring them regularly. Mm-hmm. And that allows us to stay in a forward moving posture. And we can give that to other women as much as we need it for ourselves. I certainly try to give it to other women mm-hmm. and I'm grateful for all of the women that give it to me. I still have my limitations. I still have a lot of uncertainties, but they don't overwhelm me. I don't feel like I am being hijacked by them as often as when you are trying to do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm. And a key that you mentioned there is giving it to other women. You can't expect it yourself if you're not giving it to other women. I think that's a really important point for us to highlight, is you have to be a giver of these kinds of environments, right? And you have to give without the certainty of what is going to come back and know that it's your pay it forward. And yeah. that it may not come back from that woman to you, but she may pay it forward to another woman.
Absolutely. I live by a philosophy that when you plant seeds in someone else's garden, the fruit is theirs. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't look in their garden for your fruit. You trust that all the seeds that have been planted in your garden all through the years, they're going to be.
That's brilliant. You know? I'm going to borrow that. I like that. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. No, she didn't like, well, you gave her some seed.
Yeah.
That's her fruit. Move yeah. on.
Mm-hmm. She nurtured it and watered
yeah.
it. And
you know, yeah. you did your part mm-hmm. and the fruit belongs to her, and you will have your fruit in season as well for all of the people that have planted in you. But mm-hmm. it's that thing, Yolande, of believing, like you said, that it is not necessarily a two-way street, but a cycle of life.
Yeah.
Not everywhere that you go and invest is where you're also going to reap. But the investment mm-hmm. was not for you in the first place. It was for mm-hmm. that person. Mm-hmm. And someone's investing in you.
Mm-hmm. And you get out of that investment, even when you're investing in others. Yeah, there is a personal return to you.
There's a personal return to you. Mm-hmm. And the law of reciprocity is that mm-hmm. you will have investors in your life as mm-hmm. much as you invest in other people. Like you said, not necessarily the exact same people.
Yeah.
But I do believe in that law. Mm-hmm. People have come into my life that I've given nothing to. Mm-hmm. And they've mm-hmm. poured into me. Mm-hmm. And I've done it for others. But there's also that core. And mm-hmm. I want to go back to that for a moment. We need that core, no matter how small, of just a few women that it is a two-way street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That you know for sure that her bucket is always welcome at your well, and your yes. bucket is always welcome at her well. No questions asked. You know, we have a pact.
Mm-hmm.
You need that. Absolutely.
And that core isn't tons of people. You know, you can't invest the way that investment is and what that takes is it's a, you know, if you have one or two people that is it, because it takes investment in them and them investing in you.
Yes. And one or two people is truly enough. Mm-hmm. It is enough. One or two people will do.
In a recent conversation, you said something that stuck with me. You spoke about realization that it's important to stop resisting the things you don't understand. And that really rang with me. Tell us about that. Stop resisting the things you don't understand.
Well, I'll start by saying that when I said that to you, I was in the middle of preparing a teaching around surrender, being yielded to your higher power, is what some people will call it. In my faith, I say God. But I asked myself as I was doing the preparation, how much of this do I really understand? Mm-hmm. You know, and we applaud and reward expertise in our world. We believe that you give preeminence to how much you know and how well you know it. That makes you the expert. That makes you the person worthy of speaking to this subject area, whatever. We reward that with A's and medals and trophies for being the best and knowing the most. But there is so much that is gained from stepping forward when you don't know. That's where the miracles happen. That's where uncertainty is, but that's also where the miracles happen. And understanding is actually not required. That was my big aha moment that was going on when I said that to you. I'm like, wait a minute. Understanding is not required for me to be vulnerable, to have faith, to trust, to set intention. Understanding is not required. When I see myself in the future that I believe God has ordained for me, Yolande, I see it clearly, though I have no understanding of how I'm going to get
there. You don't need to know the how.
I don't need to know.
Yeah.
That was my breakthrough moment. The knowing is not required to see it. The knowing is not required to believe in it. And that's an individual path that everyone has to go on, but it's certainly the one that I'm on, and it has liberated me. Mm-hmm. It has truly liberated
me. I can understand that.
From having to be the person with the blueprints and having to be the person with all of the steps. But I will say this, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier about fear of our limitations. This only makes, I don't want to say it only makes sense. This becomes easier and will make more sense when we believe that there is something beyond our limitations. If on the other side of your limitation is chaos, if that's what you really believe, that it all rides on
then
you,
then it will be chaos.
Then it will be chaos.
Yeah.
If on the other end of your limitation is decay or death, it all ends there, then that's what's there. But if on the other end of your limitation is infinite possibility in the divine, mm-hmm. then that's what you're going to tap into once yeah. you get to your limitation. So my limitation is a gateway to the infinite, to what is greater than me. And that's what makes the vision that I mm-hmm. see so clearly mm-hmm. possible, though I don't know all of the steps. And so not understanding is a limitation that breaks you in a way, but opens you up in a much larger way to, I use the word again, miracles. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, and I'll say this about miracles, they don't come like how we think. Mm-hmm. There is a story of a miracle, and you know me, I have all kinds of biblical references, but it mm-hmm. is a story that I like. And the story was that, okay, we're going to inhabit this land, and we're going to live here, and we're going to prosper, and we're going to go and check it out, and it looks great, and this is going to go awesome for us. We can do this. And then the people, they said, you know, we don't know how we're going to do this, though. This mm-hmm. looks hard, and there's some obstacles in our way and some people in our way, and those people in our way, they're really, really big, too. And so we don't know how we're going to do this. And so they stepped back because they met their limit. They stepped back because they met their limit. But on the other side of that limit, something supernatural was about to happen. A miracle was on the other side of their limit. And that's what I see in my life and in your life and in the lives of so many of us. Mm-hmm. When we get to that point of not knowing and not having all the answers, and we're at that limitation and we're like, oh, but I don't have the money to start this business. And, you know, I don't have the education for this, and I don't have the right network to be in this industry or whatever. When we get to limitation, our reaction yeah. is to step back. Mm-hmm. And they stepped back and they lost out.
So rather than step forward,
once it did step forward a generation later, they had the same exact situation. Nothing had changed, but they're like, we're going to step past this threshold of our limitations mm-hmm. into infinite possibility. We want to step into a miracle.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing every time we get to this border where our limitations come. We have an opportunity to step back because we've come to our end, or we can keep going forward and into a miracle.
I'm going to link the step back to ensuring that people see that the step back and the let it go are two different things.
Oh, yeah.
right? Because yes. as you were, you know, giving that story, and even slightly before that, what was coming to mind is clearly you don't need to know your how. Do your work. You know that yep. when preparation meets opportunity bit?
Yes.
Prepare. Always be in a mode of preparation for the vision of where you want to go.
Yes.
Because some of that uncertainty really isn't your business, you know.
Not at all.
I really think it is. So the let it go, and you know, we say let go and let God, however it is you want to say it, but it's the release or the let go. So whether for you, it is from the spiritual perspective of let go and let God, let him do his thing, right? Or if you're working on, if you prefer to use the word universe, then it is you do what you need to do and let it go to the universe.
Exactly.
So whichever way you look at it, there's a let go factor there.
Yes.
But you have to do your work of preparation.
Yes. There's still your doing.
Stepping back.
Stepping back and
letting go.
Two different things. Two different things. Because right? when you're stepping back, it's resignation.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I accept my limitation as the end. This just can't happen.
And everything will fall in line to that acceptation of that. Everything yes. will fall in line to you accepting.
Accepting that. Yes. And that is exactly what happened in that story. Nothing else happened for those people. It was the end of their story. And, but for those who said, I accept that this is my limitation, but I've done the work. I do believe. I do trust. I will be vulnerable in this moment because on the other side of human limitation,
some miracles
are miracles. And miracles happen for those people. And miracles are happening for me, and they're happening for you. And it's not fairy dust falling out of the sky. It is, I've met my limit and I'm going further.
And I think sometimes our instinct kicks in and we just have a feeling I should do this or I should prepare this. You got to listen to that.
Yes. And you know about some of mine. Like I was just doing stuff last year. You know,
you're planting your seeds.
I'm planting my seeds. I told people on social media about how I went all running on to do my coaching certification course and didn't know how I was going to get to California. Didn't know how I was going to get to Oregon. And I'm like, but I'm trusting. I'm like, I don't have the first dollar. I don't have time off to go getting a certification. I'm like, anyway, signing up anyhow. You know? I'm just like, I'm gonna sign up anyway. And then miracles happen.
Pandemic hit.
That's all I could call it. Miracles happen. Because I'm like, a pandemic hit. Everybody suddenly online. What I would have had to travel and do in over 2 or 3 years, I was able to do in a year. And think about it this way. What if I had said, well, I don't have any vacation time to do this. I certainly don't have the money right now to do this. Who am I going to live with in Oregon?
You step back.
And I stepped back. And I'm like, this is so not practical. And I just didn't register. Just didn't register.
But no, you registered. You pressed go and then you let it go.
And I let it go. And I'm like, I'm going to figure out. Girl, even the money came. I was like, I got.
Look at that.
All of a sudden, I got like, my bank was like, you qualify. I'm like, for something? Like, for what? Like, you qualify for a low interest. I'm like, time here. This never happened in my life, Yolande. Never in my life. I just get an email. You qualify. I'm like, in a pandemic?
That was that. Let it go. It came back.
It came back.
The it came back. Came
in one lump sum. With excellent terms.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, Lord, this is how you do things. I'm going to roll with this. I'm definitely going to roll with it.
Going to roll with it. Certainly. Certainly. Yeah. Awesome.
How do we get on miracles?
Well, I think we got there because you have to be willing to sit in the uncertainty.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to sit in the uncertainty. And it's not an easy thing. But know that what can come out on the other end You know, and even if it's not immediate, even if it's not what you expect, no experiences are lost, eh? And there, trust me, there's times when I'm having experiences where I'm like, really, I really need this experience. I don't need this experience. I can get it and I can get the lesson without this experience. But it all adds up to something.
It does. And you know what? It adds up to more than, you know, as big as our desires and our hopes are, I am learning, Yolande, that what God has for me and wants for me and wants to expose me to exceeds
far beyond ridiculously your imagination.
Our imagination. Mm-hmm. And so when that vision is cast before you and you see that thing and the divine gives you that glimpse and says, if you could only hold on to this, if you could just believe in what has been prepared for you and what your life is supposed to expand into and hold on to it, this is going to be a ride, but I've got you.
And why do you think, why do you think people have such difficulty in believing what is prepared for them? Is it that they're trying to, it's almost like you're trying to dress rehearse the disaster of what can go wrong. And so in doing that, you don't allow yourself to believe in the possibilities because it's like, you don't want to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. So let me just stick to believing in what cannot happen. Did I answer the question?
Let me tell you. It's that word disappointment. It's that word disappointment, Yolande. It is the same as the word limitation, because our disappointments are a kind of limit. It didn't happen the way I thought. It's a kind of limit. So what happens when we're disappointed is that we have a habit of reacting to disappointment as end of the road moments. I'm disappointed that this didn't happen. But even in disappointment, if you see it as a kind of limitation, the same rule applies. Beyond this limitation is a miracle. Beyond this no is a miracle. Beyond this disappointment is a miracle. Beyond however this didn't go the way I thought it should go is a miracle. It's that word that says all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It's looking at the situation, hard though it may be, extremely hard in some situations, and insisting, it's almost a stubborn insistence that hidden in this mess that I cannot understand, where I am at the end of my rope and all seems lost and I'm at my limit and I'm so brokenhearted and I'm terribly disappointed and there's so much uncertainty, even this is not the end. Even this is not the end. Beyond, there still is a miracle. And I'll tell you, for me personally, I've only started to really believe that when I came head buttingly, repeatedly up against my limits. And I had to choose
whether you were going to keep doing it.
Whether I was going to keep doing it. I had to choose. I had so many disappointments.
Because that's exhausting.
So many things that weren't going my way. I had so many closed doors. I had so many opportunities that fell apart. I was tired. I was so tired, Yolande. And I went before my God and I said, look.
We got to talk.
Look, yeah. I'm tired of my life. I'm tired of not ending up where I'm trying to go. You've got to come through for me. That's how I went to him. But I will tell you how the Spirit came back to me. Your ends are my beginnings. My strength is in your weakness. You decrease and I increase. It was a perspective shift on what it meant to come to my end. I went in despair because I was at my end. I went crying because I was at my end. I went heartbroken because I was at my end. And then I got a perspective shift that says, oh, this is where it really
is. This is now it. We're this here. It. We're ready to go now.
Now you can go places. Mm-hmm. Now you can go to real places, the higher places.
So you got to give that uncertainty a chance.
You got to give it a chance and have that shift in perspective about what it really is, almost like in The Matrix. Is this really like, what is this? You know, that movie's crazy.
Yes.
Like, is this really? You know, but there was a lot of spiritual truth in that movie about reality. And what is this uncertainty really?
Yeah.
I believe it's an opportunity.
I need to rewatch The Matrix. I have a very good friend that has been referring to The Matrix over and over. And now that you've done it, because it I guess perception and reality, yeah. You know? And yeah.
Yes. So yeah, totally trippy movie when it first came out. If you look at it now, you'd probably be like, this movie was crazy.
Yes.
I thought it was so high.
This isn't a recent movie. That was a long time ago that came out.
So long ago, Keanu Reeves is doing all kind of crazy things. Dodging bullets.
Oh, this was fabulous, Latasha. You know, I am so thankful for your willingness to dive deep in some of these topics with me, you know, because this, I feel as though uncertainty and how to navigate it has been a consistent theme within a lot of the episodes of Shifting Perspective lately. So I truly thank you for being willing to do this.
Thank you, Yolande. I am always delighted to talk with you, and we have such fun, and I learn so much.
We do.
Every time we do this,
yeah.
I come away feeling so full and like I've learned something new, which is, those are the best days of my life when I learn something new.
I think we are aligned as teacher, student, coach.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this week's episode of Shifting Perspectives. If you'd like to get in contact with Latasha, I'll put up all her information on the show page. But is there anything you want to jump in and say here as to where people can find you?
Yes, you can find me. My coaching page is on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's Explore, Discover, Know. That's K-N-O-W, Know. And you can also find me on my website, which is www.explorediscoverknow.com. You can find me at latashastron.com. And if you'd like to know how to spell that, you have to go to Yolande's page for this show.
Because it is not pronounced, it is not written as Strawn.
Not what you think. So yeah, go check out the show page.
Certainly. Okay, so this week's show page can be found at www.yolandrobinson.com/episode46. And for those of you that are listening directly from the webpage, I'm really happy that you're doing that. As well as, don't forget that you can listen from your favorite podcast players and to subscribe. So once you subscribe, that ensures that whenever there's a new episode of Shifting Perspectives, that it pops up for you and you know it's there and you don't even have to think to go look for it. Okay. So thank you for joining us and have an awesome week.